Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
All right, Joe, go ahead and finish what you were saying.
Yeah,
and then what we're going to do, Joe, is we're going to play a clip because Dr. David Martin is going to take a real close look at what is really happening and show the people what this woke movement is all about. But go ahead and finish what you were saying.
Okay. Yeah, well, that's part of this whole thing. This, the Biden saying he's going to force the mandates and pushing. Well, here's what they've been doing. Earlier in November, the administration made future reimbursements for medical bills contingent on all eligible staff getting fully vaxxed against the COVID by 4 January. And so this is what they're using. They're using, they call it coercion, but it's blackmail. The hospital, if you don't have all your employees vaccinated, we will not reimburse you for the Medicare, Medicaid patients, which is, huge chunk of the hospital's business right now. And so the hospitals have to order their staff to get vaccinated because they can't turn down all that federal money. They would go broke without the Medicaid, Medicare money. And see what the government's doing. This is real anti-Americans, folks. This is government blackmailed by government.
It is, Joe, but
fight back.
It is. And a lot of people are going to die because of a shortage of staff because their employees have been fired
or let
quit. Right. Yep. And there's going to be lawsuits, after lawsuits. But we're going to go and listen to Dr. David Martin, who's been on top of this thing right from the beginning. Listen to what he has to say.
Dr. David Martin has been spending the past year and a half fighting to unravel what he says is the global conspiracy of coronavirus centralized right here in the United States. Coronavirus may have first been identified in late 2019 in China, but Dr. Martin says the pandemic was planned, and you can see the planning start all the way back in 2015. Dr. Martin points to an event in that year where EcoHealth Alliance's Peter Daszak said this, quote, "Until an infectious disease crisis is very real, present, at an emergency threshold, it's often largely ignored. To sustain the funding base beyond the crisis, we need to increase public understanding of the need for medical countermeasures such as a pan-influenza or pan-coronavirus vaccine. A key driver is the media, and the economics will follow the hype. We need to use that hype to our advantage to get to the real issues. Investors will respond if they see profit at the end of the process." End quote. Dr. Martin says schools like MIT, NYU, and the University of California are part of a group that he dubs the COVID pirates. Other parties include the American and Chinese governments, the International Monetary Fund, and BlackRock. Martin says that these groups are guilty of criminal conspiracy in a terrorist plot against the American people. And Dr. David Martin joins us now. Dr. Martin, thank you so much for being here.
Stu, always an honor to be here.
So take us through the criminal conspiracy. Who committed it? What crimes were committed? And how this can, the exposure of this can end this nightmare known as COVID-19?
Well, we got to go back to 1984 when Anthony Fauci took over at NIAID. And 2 years later, railroaded the first step in a global conspiracy to actually create a human dependency on vaccines. It is important for us to realize that the 1986 Act, which famously gave vaccine manufacturers immunity from liability and put that liability on the shoulders of the American people, was in fact the first step in a very long march to this moment in time. And the fact of the matter is, every single pathogen that has come out from 1986 until the present has unfortunately yielded a public that still is dubious about vaccines. And as Peter Daszak said in his very famous quote from the National Academy of Sciences in 2016, February 2016, the issue is we must create hype to get the public to buy off on what now is a gene therapy being illegally marketed as a vaccine so that the human race becomes dependent forever on the modified genetics created by a vaccine industry out of control. This is, without question, a financial racketeering domestic terrorism case, which has international implications and violates at least 7 criminal felony laws in the United States. And we'll go over those in detail, but we've got to be really clear on the fact this was not a public health emergency. This was a criminal conspiracy to create a domestic terrorism event, pure and simple.
And the domestic terrorism is the shot that's being falsely referred to as a vaccine. Do you consider this thing to be a bioweapon?
There's no question it is a bioweapon. In 1998, Ralph Baric at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, perfected what was called an infectious replication defective clone of coronavirus, specifically amplifying the spike protein so that it targeted human lung and cardiac epithelial and endothelial tissue. This was from a decade-long research he had done into using coronavirus to amplify cardiomyopathy in rabbits. In other words, picking a thing that was known to kill animals and amplifying it so that it would actually target humans. Anthony Fauci funded research in 1998 that was ultimately patented by the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill in 2002. And you heard that date correctly, 2002, a year before we ever heard the word SARS anywhere in the world. A year earlier, UNC Chapel Hill patented the coronavirus recombinant condition that actually made an infectious replication defective clone of coronavirus specifically to target human tissue.
Take us through, I know some of the felonies here, lying before Congress. This has been done at least 3 times by Fauci in front of Rand Paul. We haven't seen a criminal referral. Ron Johnson has that authority. Rand Paul has that authority. But you say that there are 7 felonies. Take us through them.
Yeah, well, so obviously the ones that are easiest are the ones that are self-evident. 18 U.S. Code, subsection 2339C, which is a felony which is punishable by 99 years in prison and up to $100 million of fines if it involves corporations, is actually funding and conspiring to commit acts of terror. There is no question under the law and under Section 802 of the Patriot Act, which we're going to get to in a minute, but under Section 802 of the Patriot Act, anything that is designed to coerce the public or governments into taking actions that they would not otherwise take is considered domestic terrorism. And specifically under the 18 U.S. Code, funding and conspiring to commit acts of terror is something that Anthony Fauci and his criminal conspirators have been doing since 2002, when we knew that there was, in fact, a successful NIAID platform, which was to essentially weaponize coronavirus. 18 U.S. Code, Section 2331, and obviously the following sections, which we refer to as the Patriot Act, says that any American or any act of domestic terrorism that ultimately results in the death of American citizens, too, is a felony. And these two lead us down to the felony of at least reckless homicide, if not full-on murder. The reason why I'm actually very careful with this one is because there is a published document for Pfizer that says that they have an acceptable death rate. And I want that word to chill into your consciousness, an acceptable death rate for their vaccines. That means there's premeditation, loss of life. And we either have a civil action about wrongful death or a criminal action of reckless homicide or murder, which is actually associated with any company that says that we have an acceptable death rate for the products that are produced. Obviously, 18 U.S. Code Section 1001, lying to Congress, is not just the theater that Rand Paul and Anthony Fauci engage in, but more insidiously, Stu, and this one goes to the heart of the racketeering conspiracy. When Congress and the Congressional Budget Office in the fall of 2020 asked for an accounting from NIH on the patents and the commercial interests that they owned in the proposed therapeutic interventions, including the vaccines and including other drugs, they failed to disclose any, and listen carefully to what I'm saying, they failed to disclose any of NIH, NIAID, or its affiliated organizations' financial interest in anything doing with coronavirus. That includes all the mRNA platforms. That includes remdesivir. And that includes Merck's most recent announcement that in partnership with Ridgeback Pharmaceuticals, they are in fact rolling out their new drug, which is like a, you know, remdesivir 2.0. The fact of the matter is, none of those were disclosed in the published audited report that was given to Congress in October of 2020. 15 U.S. Code sections 1 through 3, all felony criminal conspiracies for conducting commercial activity. And listen, in this one, it's clear and simple. To get to an emergency use authorization, you have to say there are no commercial alternatives. You have to disqualify every other treatment. And you know, Stu, that what they've been doing is taking treatment after treatment after treatment, even ones they approved in the past, off the table, so that the only solution that could be offered are drugs and injections that are, in fact, incapable of standing up to the scrutiny of genuine clinical trials and must be authorized under emergency use authorization only. They have manipulated the markets under 3 different felonies of our antitrust laws. And then 15 U.S. Code Section 8, market manipulation and allocation. Over $50 million has been awarded to the criminal conspirators without competition, meaning that the federal government is giving the winners since 2012, giving the winners money that is not open and fair competition in violation of 15 U.S. Code Section 8. And last but not least, this is the most important one in terms of the prima facie case, 15 U.S. Code Section 19, interlocking directorates. This is actually a law that's been on the books since the Clayton Act improvement to the Sherman Act in our antitrust laws in the United States. And what it says is that you cannot allow people with commercial interlocking interests, in other words, people who should be in open competition, you cannot allow them to serve on the same board and accomplish anything, because what will happen is they will have insider information, which makes their actions necessarily conflicted and by definition anti-competitive.
Okay.
Across the board, those are the crimes.
Do sitting members of our U.S. Senate and U.S. Congress have this information? Do they know this?
They do indeed. In fact, Ron Johnson has all of this information. Rand Paul has all of this information. And courtesy of an amazing group up in Wisconsin, Co-Publishing, every single sitting member of the United States Senate has received all of this information. And they did it about 6.5 months ago. Not a single person to date, save Rand Paul's one request for referral to the Department of Justice, not one sitting member of Congress has actually taken action on what we know to be prima facie. These are not, by the way, crimes that require investigation. These are crimes by their own admission. Remember that the quote you read from Peter Daszak from 2016, published February of 2016, which says we need the media to create hype to get the public to accept a thing.
Oh, and they've done
that. That is by definition coercion. That is a felony. That is domestic terrorism. And we must call it what it is.
They've
done it. Premeditated murder.
And they continue to do it constantly.
That's correct.
Over and over with new variants and the pandemic of the unvaccinated and pictures and images of children dying from supposedly coronavirus, when we know that that's just an absolute fallacy. It's not true. They won't touch the death rate. We're not allowed to see the deaths that are caused by this thing other than on the very unreliable vaccine adverse events reporting system, which only less than 1% of vaccine injuries are reported to. So, okay, Ron Johnson has this. Every sitting member of the U.S. Senate has this. We've seen the grandstanding and the viral exchanges of rhetoric between Rand Paul and Tony Fauci. These crimes are out there. Everybody is saying, okay, our election was stolen right out in front of us. Okay, the audit was done. It's come and gone. Okay, this coronavirus, we know it as the plandemic. And Peter Daszak, by his own admission, is saying this was a plandemic. Documents and patents going all the way back to 2015 and probably even before that prove that this was a plandemic. So we know all this. Not a court in the world is going to do anything about this. We're just getting trampled over by this bureaucracy, by this beast system. What can people actually do? How can somebody take action to stop this right now?
Well, as you know, and Stu, I've shared some materials with you. We can obviously share this. We've got tons of stuff that I can make available to your audiences and your listeners. I have an entire packet that goes to attorney generals. But the key thing right now is to get attorneys general to do what they did when it was, you know, back in the day. Remember when the gremlin very famously used to get rear-ended and the gas tanks exploded, and it took a few people to actually say, hold on a second, these cars need to get off the road. And standing together, a number of AGs said, we're going to take action. If the company doesn't, the company took action, pulled the car off the road, just like tobacco settlement. We forget that. But tobacco settlement, what was that? That was companies that knew that they were making an addictive product. And ultimately, a number of attorneys general got together and said, we're going to prosecute this. We're going to end that criminal conspiracy. Every single time we have one of these, the only action that can be taken is a group, not one, but a group of attorneys general who actually are empowered by the people who elected them to do what they must do, which is to stand up and uphold the Constitution of the United States and uphold the constitutions of their respective states. The fact of the matter is, anyone not taking action in law enforcement right now is participating in a criminal conspiracy by omission, at least, if not commission. Stu, I had a conversation just a couple of days ago with a very well-placed attorney general in the United States who I'm counting on to take action. And I raised a very interesting point. I said, I have a suspicion that the emergency declaration that your governor signed did not come out of your office. And they chuckled and they said, well, of course not. We didn't write it. And I said, well, that's interesting. Wouldn't it be interesting to find out who actually wrote the emergency declarations, which shut down the economy of your state? And ironically, there was this chilling silence, at which point in time I said, and that we can only uncover with criminal discovery. Because if we actually have criminal discovery, we will have the ability to find out who wrote those freaking memos, because they start with recitals that we know are false. There was not a novel virus. The only novelty determination was made by people with a financial interest in promoting emergency use drugs. Let me say that one more time. The only people who have validated that there was a novel virus all have undisclosed commercial interest in drugs that could only be authorized under an emergency use authorization. There was not an independent member of the World Health Organization's International Committee on Taxonomy of Viruses. Not one, not a single unconflicted party. So you actually have the people who made the determination that we have a pathogen happen to be the financially interested parties who only could get their drugs approved through an EUA.
I mean, it seems
that's
so
racketeering, pure and simple.
Yes, absolutely. And then the emergency use drugs that are in this AI protocol that is flooding the doctor's Epic systems. You have patient with A or B, you must do C or D. Are all of the drugs from the same group of people?
Exactly.
Remdesivir is a perfect example.
Remdesivir and Merck's latest drug with Ridgeback Pharmaceuticals. People don't understand that came out of the same racketeering crowd, Vanderbilt, UNC Chapel Hill, and so forth. And remember, Kizzy Corbett, the woman who was at the Vaccine Research Center at NIAID, who happened to be the one who happened to give Moderna the sequence for the spike protein that went into the vaccine, who happened to sign an agreement with UNC Chapel Hill to share spike protein data in November of 2019. Kizzy Corbett graduated from, are you ready for this? UNC Chapel Hill.
Can't make it up. So the attorney general that you spoke to, where there was the chilling silence, are you optimistic that that particular person is going to look at a criminal action?
I am optimistic that we may go down the pathway of getting something that's slightly better than an AG action. We have in this country and in most states very powerful laws to impanel grand juries and to impanel special prosecutors. And if people want to be very specific with what to ask their attorney general to do, we need a grand jury and we need the appointment of special prosecutors who have subpoena authority to go after these particular individuals, and specifically the people who we must seize their communication are Peter Daszak, Dr. Anthony Fauci, and Dr. Ralph Baric. The fact of the matter is those three people, among a whole host of others, but those three people have written records of this criminal conspiracy dating to at least 2005, if not 2002.
There are a lot of viewers to this program that are tired of these rallies and these big ticket prices to go watch marquee values, celebrity politicians and candidates and influencers get on a stage and go buy my product and America will be great and chant, hold the line and hoorah and fight like a Flynn or whatever else. But these people are tired of giving up all their money for this.
Yep.
What they want to do is invest their time and actually make a difference. This is an action platform, and that's what we're going to do. Now, Dr. Jane Ruby told me that you've actually been contacted by other attorneys general just from her promotion of, you know, the reach out to this, because we briefly touched on this program earlier, which is why I had to have you on. So this is something that we absolutely need to do. Without getting too deep into the weeds, do you know anything about this executive order, specifics on the EO specifically that Trump signed relating to all of this vaccine nonsense, bioweapon stuff?
Well, I'll tell you what, it's very disturbing. On September the 18th, 2019, the World Health Organization announced that it would do a worldwide exercise in the release of a respiratory pathogen so that we could get a worldwide acceptance of vaccine, right out of the playbook that you read at the top of the show. And the next day, within 24 hours, President Trump signed an executive order, which in fact laid out the pathway for this now warp speed of developing alternative platforms for vaccines. The possibility that that was not coordinated is zero. That was a coordinated act. The president did not write an executive order overnight, having seen, you know, the World Health Organization publication the day before. There is no way that one day separating those two events is even theoretically possible. And in his testimony on December the 4th in front of Congress in 2019, so remember, this is before anyone has heard, no one has heard of coronavirus. In fact, the World Health Organization declared it eradicated. But on the 4th of December 2019, Anthony Fauci, in front of Congress, made reference to that executive order, stating that it authorized him to build self-assembling nanoparticle vaccines and mRNA vaccines that needed to be done through the Department of Defense. There is no question that this is a public admission that the administration in 2019 was manipulated and coerced into self-inflicted destruction. And I'm going to be really, really clear. You know, I stick to only facts, Stu. That's what I'm about.
Yeah.
But there is something that is so deeply troubling in the sequence of events that I have to go as far as to say that if this was not acts of treason, I am shocked. Because at no point do I actually believe that on September the 19th, you know, somehow Donald Trump was convinced that somehow he should be issuing executive orders to the DOD to actually make self-assembling nanoparticles and mRNA vaccines. My guess is he still doesn't entirely know what those things mean.
So who are you suggesting committed these acts of treason?
Well, there's no question that Fauci admitted to it. So we might as well put him up where he belongs, because he, in fact, admitted to the same. The good news is I'm not making an allegation. When you admit to something in advance of a public health emergency,
right,
you're actually admitting that you did it. Your fingerprints are on the gun and you're standing over the corpse. So newsflash, you're definitely there. Do I think he acted alone? Absolutely not. Look at the fact that in 2016, when the UNC Chapel Hill paper was published that said SARS coronavirus was poised for human emergence, the SARS coronavirus they were making reference to was their modification of WIV1. WIV1, Stu, is the Wuhan Institute of Virology virus 1. That was 2016, people. That was not some sort of wet market where somebody bought a bad bat in December of 2019. That was 2016, and it was called the Wuhan Institute of Virology virus 1 because it was the COVID bioweapon that was designed from the 2013 samples taken from the six miners in China. That means that biological and chemical weapons laws were violated by transferring a known pathogen from China to the United States in 2016 to weaponize a virus against humanity.
Okay, I got like 3 minutes left here, so we gotta hustle. I gotta get through this. But Rand Paul, why is he stopping short of a criminal referral here?
Good fundraising. Every time he does a smackdown with Fauci, he goes on all social media the next minute going, look who's standing up for America. Look who's holding Fauci accountable.
Yeah, and a big
and people must know that he is actually failing to disclose the October 2014 letter from NIAID to the UNC Chapel Hill researchers that said that their project was gain of function. Rand Paul has the letter in his possession. I know he has it because I know that it was given to him. And he refuses to drop the one piece of evidence which actually puts Fauci in jail.
So we can contact him and we can do all those things, but it's proven to be ineffective. He's not going to do anything. What we need to do is take this route with these attorneys general.
That's exactly right.
But it also doesn't do any good to donate anymore to Rand Paul either.
Nope.
Until somebody wants to do something and show that they actually are a person of action, I would say stop donating to them altogether and stop using this GOP WinRed nonsense as well. Okay, so where can we find these packets? Can you give them to me? How can we easily
I'm
going
to send them to you. You will have them, and then you will have the freedom to disseminate them. They are packages that were prepared specifically with cover letters. The one I'm going to send you was actually prepared for the AG in Arizona. But you will be able to cut and paste these letters, make them appropriate to your state, and Stu, you'll have them in your possession to share with everybody.
And send these by certified mail is what you recommend.
That's exactly right.
Okay, send these by certified mail. They will be on my Telegram. They will be at stupeters.tv. They'll be at redvoicemedia.com. There will be no excuse for not getting your hands on these things. Dr. David Martin, brilliant. You're a genius. Thank you so much for being here and for
always
all of
good
your
to be
work.
Here. It's an honor to stand with you, Stu. I appreciate it.
God bless you.
All right. After this, so. Okay, you heard it, folks, right there. I've got request to give our address out. The address, if you wanted to send a donation, is WRWL, that's WRWL, 14781, that's 14781 Sperry. That's Sperry Road, Newberry, Newbury, Ohio, 44065. Now, also, if you haven't gotten a newsletter, you really do. We get more, I get more good positive mail on the newsletter than you can shake a stick at. So we send out very interesting articles in the newsletter. If you don't get it, you're missing. It's free. It don't cost you anything. And to get the newsletter, it's the same address. Just send a WRWL. 14781, that's 14781 Sperry, Sperry Road, Newberry, Newbury, Ohio, 44065. Just request that newsletter. And see, we need you to write, actually, because we need a really good address. And what happens is, a return address to send it to you. Because what happens, often people, they only give us, they give us part of an address, or they'll call in and they'll just say, hey, send me the newsletter, and they'll give us an address without even a name. We don't even know what the name of the people are. They just said, send me like we should know who they are. Okay. So folks, you got to really, we need your name and we need your address printed very clearly. And
well,
we'll
if you don't get a newsletter, repeat call, and this time write in and give us name, address, and everything clearly so we can send it. And when you get it, go ahead if you can. I mean, most of us have access to a machine somewhere. I make copies, hand it out to friends, family, church, and I ask all those that I give a copy to do the same. And that way we can take a limited resource and get it to maybe four or five times the number of people.
Joe, I got to give this out. Now, folks, we got a piece of legislation that here in Ohio. It's called House Bill 218. Now, this is going to be going to the Senate. We need you to call your Ohio senator. It's very, very important. Now, you can call the state house and just tell him, just tell him what his name is or her name, the Ohio senator. And that number to call is 614-466-8842. That's 614-466-8842. And again, with this is this bill takes away the medical rights, of select groups of people. It allows for mandates of vaccines that are approved by the FDA This includes vaccines that are derived from aborted baby cells, folks, from little children that are murdered. Now, anyhow, you say, well, what about the court cases? No, we need to use everything, and we need to let them know, because we got deathocrats and we got rhinos there at the Ohio Senate, and they need to know. They need to hear from you. So the phone number is 614-466-8842. Again, folks, call your Ohio senator. Tell him to vote against House Bill 218. It's a really bad bill. It's a really bad bill. And so, again, that's House Bill 218. Vote against it. 614-466-8842. 614-466-8842. We'll be back right after this.
Of a king, what a glorious thing for the world. Redemption's begun, God has sent his own son to the world. And I'm following that star, it is guiding my heart to the truth the prophets told, that this tiny manger holds my Lord. He's my Lord, my Lord. He is my Lord. Not just a baby or carpenter's son.
He's my Lord, and he better be your Lord, too, because if he's not, you're in more trouble than you know. Anyhow, Joe, remember last August what Joe Biden did? He became the enemies of America, and that's the Biden regime. They turned over $85 billion worth of weapons to our enemies. They funded and they totally supplied our enemies with better weapons than a lot of our servicemen have today, because the Biden regime, the Democratic Communist Party, are the enemies of all true Americans. And don't forget, Joe, they left, in the latest count is there were 14,000 Americans they left behind. So, but that wasn't reported on the fake news media, the Antichrist, by NBC, ABC, CBS, CNN. And I just wanted to remind people this. And then what did he do? He gave our military an impossible mission and ended up killing 13 of our soldiers. So by the Taliban, by the ISIS-K, rather. And, you know, they're virtually a part of the Taliban. All right. Thought I'd get that out. I want to remind people, unless they forget, right?
Right. But do we have time to tell about that Romanian immigrant?
Yeah. Go ahead. Try to do it as quickly. Yeah.
All right. For years, we've done stories of people from communist countries coming in, communist countries, warning us. Here's one more. An immigrant from the former Soviet Union was shocked, basically, to find communism growing here. And he moved here in pursuit of a better life. And he said, Americans favoring communism need to learn from history or, quote, nothing will save you. And this Bogdan Laurentiu, I was talking to Fox News, and he is just saying, you know, he has no regrets, you know, of all the sacrifices to get here to have a new life. And he's very grateful and honored to be here, but he is warning about the political left and bringing in communism. And he said, you know, in 24 years of living in communist Romania, I have not heard one person talk positively about communism. And he goes on and on warning here. And I bring it up, it's a long story, but to back at 1 in 3 millennials, this was something we did in October, see communism as a survey. 1 in 3 millennials see communism as favorable. Folks, we have failed to educate, teach our young people about the dangers of communism. We have not taught them about our system of government, you know, business and government, and we have failed to teach them about Jesus Christ and salvation. So, we, this generation, has a lot of work to do, boss.
I hear you. I got a couple of quick ones I wanted to try to get out, Joe. In the United Kingdom, the latest data for the United Kingdom, health security agencies, what they call their UKSHA, okay, I guess that's like our OSHA, the COVID-19 vaccine surveillance report shows that for every one unvaccinated person in the United Kingdom who dies from Wuhan coronavirus, at least 4 fully vaccinated people die. So the vast majority of reported COVID deaths, 82% recorded, according to the data, are occurring after people get their injections. Now, this little factoid flies straight in the face of the 90% mortality prevention rate claimed by the jabs manufacturer related back in September. The Office for National Statistics reported almost everyone that month who tested positive for COVID had died was fully vaccinated. There you go. So
truth will get out sooner or later. We're going to keep doing our part, but sooner or later this truth will have to overwhelm the lies and all these people that are trying to make money off of your misery, off of your dead family members, friends. And people need to be, well, like Dr. Martin said, we need to have people tried and convicted of treason.
Yeah. Wayne Allen Root, now he's got a pretty good record for his predictions, if you will. He says, get ready for President Hillary Clinton. get ready for president. So here, Muhammad Ali said, it ain't bragging if you can back it up. So excuse me for bragging, but in my almost 6 years as a nationally syndicated radio and TV host, my predictions have been remarkably accurate. Joe, we could say the very same thing.
We've been very accurate.
I'm not perfect, he says, but I'm batting close to 990. It's the best record of anyone in the media. Maybe. Okay, now anyhow, almost everything I predicted has come true, including a stolen election based on mail-in voting without... We were right on that, okay, with voter ID, a communist takeover of the USA based on lockdowns. We were right about that. COVID mandates and open borders. Joe Biden being a brain-dead puppet with dementia. Well, he's Obama's puppet for sure. I was already warning on the Newsmax TV show that Biden's clearly diminished mental capacity back in 2019 and in early 2020. It's all on tape. I warned during the 2020 election that Biden and the Biden crime family are owned lock, stock, and barrel by China and the Chinese Communist Party. We were on top of that way back then, Joe. I also predicted this communist takeover and purposeful destruction of America and American exceptionalism, capitalism, and the American middle class, the Judeo-Christian values, was all designed, coordinated, and carried out by a combination of Barack Obama, communist billionaire George Soros, and the Chinese Communist Party. This is all happening right in front of your eyes. So I'm glad to make another shocking prediction. The Democrats, party of radical, insane, hateful socialists, Marxists, and communists, are getting ready to install Hillary Clinton as president of the United States. You might ask, how will they do that? The answer is simple. Biden is finished. He served his useful purpose. He's provided a white, experienced, grandfatherly, supposedly moderate face to serve the top of the presidential ticket. The mail-in ballot fraud got the Democrats 90% of the way home in rigging and stealing the 2020 election. And Biden's white moderate grandfather routine did the rest. He fooled just enough clueless and naive voters in a handful of battleground states to finish the job. But the jig is up. Biden's approval is now in the imaginable 30% range. That means he has no one left on his side but friends, family, campaign aides, Democratic Kool-Aid drinkers, welfare addicts, and illegal aliens. Everyone with a brain who isn't blind, deaf, or really dumb now understands Biden is brain dead. It's hard to miss this daily decline in Biden's ability to think and communicate. Democratic puppet masters have no choice anymore but to throw Grandpa under the train. Biden's days are numbered before he will be forced to step down. Now, after a minute, he can't do the job anymore due to rapidly advancing dementia. Biden is as good as gone. At this point, it's only a matter of when. This would make Kamala president. We all know that that's not going to happen. She is the most deeply flawed, despised, and unpopular vice president in the history of America, and maybe in the history of the world, too. Her 28% approval makes Biden seem popular. Kamala's problem is the one that is that no one likes her. Not men, not women, not whites, not blacks. She's talentless, an empty suit with an evil, insane laugh. Who screwed up her? Well, I can't say this. Put it this way: she slept her way to the top. With Willie Brown. Normally, females.
She fits the narrative too, and they didn't think past. She fits the narrative. This is wonderful. She's female. She's biracial. She's sometimes the socialists and communists are not very smart.
All right, so let me go on with this. He moves on to say, here's my crystal ball. Democrats will demand Kamala Harris' resignation. She'll cite personal reasons or family issues. Then corrupt Democrat billionaire donors will give her $25 million mansion to retire in, and you'll never hear from her again. Next, they will name Hillary Clinton as vice president. Very quickly after that, they will start planning nonstop stories in the media claiming Biden's aides see him in dramatic mental decline And after 3 to 6 months of those stories in the media, Biden will make his touching goodbye announcement and right off to a nursing home and specializing in dementia victims. And like Kamala, Joe Biden will get about a $25 million mansion. He don't need it. He's gotten $1 billion from China as incentive to shut her mouth and never be heard from again. Just like that, Hillary Clinton is president of the United States. I'm guessing Democrats will need a black woman as vice president to diversify the ticket and lock down every last black vote. Michelle Obama, anyone? Don't laugh. Get ready. It's coming. The Democrats will replace Biden soon. They have no choice. Donald J. Trump will destroy them in the landslide in 2024 if they don't change the narrative. Fast. Could it be the Trump versus Clinton Obama 2024? Wayne Allen Root is known as the conservative warrior. There you go. He put together a good scenario. I mean, I could just see them trying to pull that.
Yeah, they could, but there's some problems with the one person they've got to replace. They get rid of Harris. You've got Nancy Pelosi, speaker, steps up for VP. I see a couple of problems with that Constitution, but I guess they haven't been obeying the Constitution so far, so maybe that wouldn't stop them.
No, she would step up. Nasty would step up in place of the president, in Biden's place if he went down, and then
to take over the VP then.
Yeah, it would be Harris. Yeah, so and then she would have to take over the VP, and so but they're not going to go. She's 80 years old. She's older than Biden. And so they're not going to go with that. But anyhow, I wanted to say this too. Did donations dry up? Salvation Army pulls U-turn and guidance for white. You heard about what the Salvation Army did, Joe. It warned that white Americans' racism is systematic and Christians would evaluate their racist practices. Well, guess what happened?
Donations went down the proverbial toilet, but they backtracked. They tried to say, oh, this was only something we put out to the people in the organization. It wasn't meant for, you know, public consumption, but that makes it even worse to me because the guide they put out, Let's Talk About Racism, was supposed to be a voluntary thing, but the international headquarters put it out that basically said if you're white, you're racist, and told we had to stop being colorblind because America is just white. American racism is systemic. So they bought the line, hook, line, and sinker, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. But there's a lot of things happening now, and we're seeing a lot of these woke corporations starting to back down. We know that the Coke sales fell off dramatically. I mean, they really went. When Coca-Cola came out and said that that white people need to try to become less white, okay?
Yeah.
But people are starting to stand up and they're fighting back. And Coca-Cola and these other corporations got to realize that we're going to do what we can. I mean, we're going to fight with everything to make sure that, first of all, we're not going to let them shut us down. We're not going to let them put us with mail-in ballots during the 2024. It's not going to happen. We're not 2022 during the midterms, and then we're not going to let that happen. This is what they want to do. They want to try to use something to try to shut it down. And so what happens, if we can stay in there, Coca-Cola and these other corporations got to know that Republicans will be back in. And a lot of us are very, very, very angry with what's been taking place. So with that, Joe, I gave you gave the invitation last night, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Okay. And you know what? I know Pastor Hal likes to do that. Is Hal there by any chance tonight?
No.
Okay, so then I will give that invitation tonight. And I wonder over 49 years how many invitations I've given. But bottom line is this, folks. In the Bible, a commandment came from the from God, and he says, "Hear you him, hear you him." He spoke of his beloved son, Jesus. That's who the God the Father was speaking of. So if you're not sure what will happen to you when you die, well, why don't you just read God's Word, the Bible? Because he makes it very clear. See, first of all, he tells you you're going to die. And here, number two, God is a holy God, and a holy God must judge sin. And, folks, the good news for you is that only sinners can be saved. The bad news, that if you die in your sin, things are going to be very, very bad forever. That's just reality. You know, we're like Dr. Martin. We deal with facts here. And right. God's word, the Bible, is filled with facts. It's filled with facts. So here's what you do. The Lord Jesus made it very clear when the Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The Father sacrificed the Lord Jesus. Christ was the only one that could pay the price. He was the only one that could have done it, could have taken your place in a substitutionary death. He did it. He didn't have to, but he did it. Now, this gives you the opportunity to avoid eternal punishment in hell. And folks, it doesn't matter what you believe. You can believe anything you want, but what will happen, as always, as it always has been, is what God says will happen. It always has, it is, and it will. So what the Lord Jesus said you need to do is this. You need to pray to the Father, and you need to do it in his name. And then you need to ask for forgiveness of your sins, repent of your sins, and once you've done that, you've got to ask the Lord Jesus to be the Lord of your life, all of your life, with no exceptions, folks. If you'll do that, God will always honor that commitment. And you will become a new creature, a born-again believer, an heir of the kingdom. And you will be on a road, okay, to immortality. Now, once you've done that, you will be indwelt by the Holy Spirit. You've got God's word on it. But you got to mean it, because if you've meant that, your life will change. If there's no change in you, you better do it again and mean it. And so we're at that place where we come to every night. We're out of time again for tonight. And I'm just about out of voice for tonight.
Right. It goes too fast and the voice is too short.
Yeah. So until tomorrow, good night. God bless.
God bless.
And always, always, always keep.
Keep.
Fighting.
Fighting.
The fight.
The fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left. Hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.